This is Ozarks at Large. I have migrated to the Karen Taha News Studio. With me is Daniel Carruth. How are you, Daniel?
Pretty good. How are you, Kyle?
Very good. Thanks to the Women's Giving Circle from the University of Arkansas, we're able to use some of the archives from the past nearly 30 years of Ozarks at Large. We've talked a lot about transportation in this edition of Ozarks, including the future of XNA. You got inspired to look at some archives of the past about aviation, didn't you?
Yeah, this past year was kind of a big record year for aviation and flying in Northwest Arkansas, as well as Fort Smith. And I thought maybe we'd dip back into the archive and see how Ozarks has covered aviation and air tourism in the past. I found some interesting stuff, a lot of coverage, actually. And the first few pieces are from even before XNA existed.
Yeah, you found one a piece from 1992?
Yes, your piece from 1992, where you went to Heifel and you talked to residents, kind of gauging how people felt about the possibility of an airport. This was before I think it was floated in the air that Heifel might be one of the sites, but people didn't know where it would be yet.
I barely remember doing this. I do remember it was not an easy drive to Heifel.
Really?
This is before I-49,
yeah.
Of course, or 540 or 71 or whatever. And I had to look on a map, like a paper map, to find Heifel.
Sure.
Who'd I talk to?
Well, the first person you talked to is the owner of an auto repair shop, Jim Burris. Do you remember talking to him?
I do. I remember that shop. And I think I just cold called. I think
Really?
I just pulled up and looked for people in Heifel.
Yeah. Well, he was a little bit concerned about what an airport would do to the community and the town. So this is what he had to say.
One of my greatest concerns with the airport, I'm not so much opposed to an airport, you know, if it's feasible. And I realize that, you know, the news has said that it won't cost taxpayers any money to build the airport, put it in here. But the biggest concern in this area, and I think probably throughout the whole Northwest Arkansas area, is that, you know, once it's built, are we going to have enough people to, you know, pay for the maintenance and, you know, support the airport once it's completed?
Down Highway 12, about just a mile, already outside the city limits, is Souter's Auto Salvage. Robert Souter is helping a customer find a gas cap, as well as a bracket to hold up a rearview mirror. Other customers are finding time to discuss the presidential campaign of Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton. But nobody here is talking about the airport. And Robert Souter says he has not been able to get a bead on local opinion.
We don't have a gathering spot here anymore since the store closed. So we used to meet at coffee, several of us up here in the mornings and when the store was still open up here. There was some discussion. I don't know, there wasn't anything derogatory about it. None of the local people. Well, there's some of them that, you know, that I'd be concerned too if I'd lived all my life on one place and then suddenly I was going to have to be moved.
Souter says he has mixed feelings about the proposed airport. On one hand, he says it would bring more traffic, something he wanted to leave behind in California 4.5 years ago. On the other hand, Souter says he thinks an airport would bring much-needed economic boost to the area.
There's not much of a town left. But like I've told other people, if you don't have progress, you go backwards. And that's what they've done here. See, at one time, there was 2 grocery stores in Heifel. Now we don't have any. Don't even have a place you can buy a soda pop or anything.
While Souter may have mixed feelings about an airport, 26-year-old and lifelong Heifel resident Travis White says he is sure of how he feels on the matter.
Yeah, I'm totally against it. Just because it's going to ruin the community. I like the small community.
White says he wants his 2 children to be able to grow up in a rural setting just like he did. But he says he doesn't feel that will happen now. And he says he knows people that are ready to sell and move. But he says he knows some that want to remain as long as they can.
I've talked to a lot of people that's, you know, it's for it, and I've talked to more people that's against it because nobody understands, nobody thinks we need it, and I don't either.
White says he'll stay, at least for a while, if the airport does land in the small town. Meanwhile, at the auto repair shop, Jim Burris says an airport would shut down his business.
They take the town, they're going to take out both the churches, and I don't know, people don't think too much about that, but we have a real strong rural church community here in Eiffel. You know, we only have two churches, but if the airport comes in here, it's just going to wipe that out too, completely. So a way of life right here, a rural way of life in Eiffel will no longer exist.
And that again was from 1992, Kyle Kellums talking to residents of Eiffel.
And then I went back to Eiffel in 1995.
Yes, you did.
That's easier to find this time.
Yeah, that is our second piece from the archive. That's the cloud-breaking event. So this is from 3 years later, after Eiffel had been tapped as the site of XNA, the Northwest Arkansas Council held a cloud-breaking, I keep calling it a cloud-busting, a cloud-breaking for the new airport, and you went to that.
And what I remember from that, because that's 25 years ago? Is that right?
Yeah. This was 95.
Okay.
Yeah.
There were balloons. That's all I remember. Balloons and a bulldozer, maybe.
Balloons and a bulldozer. We'll hear all of that. We'll hear a band. We'll hear a school choir or a church choir. It really had everything. So here is Kyle Kellums in 1995 from the cloud breaking in Haifa.
It was not the average groundbreaking at the site where the Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport is scheduled to sit in about 3 years. In fact, it was not billed as a groundbreaking at all. But on this cloudless day, a cloud breaking. The brass band pepped out standards while the assembled hundreds, governor, congressmen, mayors, millionaires among them, sweltered in 95-degree heat and perused the souvenir table.
Shirts are tan.
I just had to see.
Luminaries such as former Congressman John Paul Hammerschmidt, current Congressman Ray Thornton, and Alice Walton sat on the front row. After a children's choir from the First Baptist Church in Springdale completed their performance, 3rd District Congressman Tim Hutchinson took the platform.
Today, we thought it would be more appropriate to break through some clouds instead. So, ladies and gentlemen, at your left is a mural which marks the location where the first airplane will touch down about 3 years from now. So, gentlemen, start your bulldozers.
As the bulldozer plowed through a banner and dozens of blue balloons were released, the crowd cheered. The heavy equipment surrounded by the green pastures painted perhaps the most symbolic portrait in a mural of an altering Northwest Arkansas. Again, Congressman Hutchinson.
We're changing and we're growing and we are improving. We're changing the landscape of our community. Places that were falling apart are being polished and perfected. Land which was vacant for years is now home to new medical communities or shining new hotels and convention centers. We are growing and we're changing. And while we're doing that, we're keeping our roots and preserving a quality of life that I believe is unsurpassed anywhere in the United States of America.
About an hour after the 11 o'clock starting time, the first dirt had been moved. And for the first time, people were bumper to bumper in airport traffic in the, for now, rural part of Benton County.
That was Kyle Kellums in 1995 with the cloud breaking in Eiffel of the XNA airport, which later opened in 1998. And then the next piece from the archive that we have is a story that Zuzana Sitek did in 2018. It's not about commercial aviation or about XNA really, but it kind of shows the shift from 92 when people were not very hesitant of an airport coming into their community, and now people have really embraced aviation, even as she shows as tourism or as a recreational event. So here's Zuzana Sitek talking with Chad Cox, who's the aviation director for Runway Group in Bentonville and a pilot. She went on a flight with him in Bentonville.
We take off from Drake Field in Fayetteville, and Cox points the plane toward Trigger Gap, just south of Eureka Springs.
So we're just at 2,000 feet right now.
Slowly, the neighborhoods disappear, and the homes below us become more scattered. Soon, we're soaring over the rolling Ozark Mountain wilderness.
Look out to your left.
After about 20 minutes of flight, the landing strip shows itself. It's a mowed field on top of a flat ridge marked with white cones and a windsock. After we land, Cox taxis the plane under a large tree. The Trigger Gap airstrip, he says, is one of 63 rural airstrips within an 80 nautical mile radius. And Cox adds, all those airstrips, many of which are privately owned, have been compiled into a database that's open to the public.
And you can go on there and you can say, I want to go camping and I want to go fishing and hiking, and it'll filter down with that.
The database is called the Airfield Guide. And Cox says putting it together was made possible by a 2012 legislative change to the Arkansas Recreational Use Statute.
So the same law that protects, you know, a landowner from someone hunting and potentially, you know, tripping and shooting their foot or whatever, the same law that protects landowners there has been amended to protect landowners who have airstrips. So that was like the key.
From there, Cox says stakeholders started calling private airstrip owners and cleared the way for many of the runways to become accessible to the greater aviation community.
We're at a low density altitude, which means that aircraft perform really well. We're in the middle of the country, so if other people want to come in and check it out, it's, you know, relatively close. And, you know, we're not densely populated where you're constantly having to deal with airspace and you can't fly here. And people have already built all these grass strips. I mean, there's tons of them, so it's great that we're able to take advantage of it.
And now, under the banner of Fly Oz, Cox says they want to promote flight in personal aircraft that affords new ways to experience the Ozarks.
At its heart, it's really just branding all those one-off airstrips and saying, hey, look, our region has a lot to offer.
Cox says the Thaden Field House that's under construction at Thaden Field in Bentonville has also been designed to introduce more people to the aviation world.
This is a huge community asset. You know, we're sitting on 130 acres of city property that really all taxpayers own. And if you put up tall fences and it's a place just for pilots and, you know, just for people who own planes, and you don't have these access points for the community, then it isn't a real community asset. So this helps move it in the right direction.
The field house is on the northwest corner of the airport's runway. Inside the field house, Cox takes us through a large event and display space with a massive hangar door. He says they plan to bring in various aircraft and exhibitions that will be open to visitors. There will also be a restaurant called Louise. Just like the airport and field house, it's named after Louise Thaden, who was born and raised in Bentonville and went on to become an aviation pioneer in the 1920s and 30s. The second floor of the field house will be home to Summit Aviation's flight school and a lounge for members of the recently launched Oz One Flying Club, which is overseen by director Phil Johnson.
We're trying to create a flying club that not only pilots want to be a part of, but others who are just interested in aviation and the community around aviation that they want to be a part of as well.
The club offers three levels of membership: all in, backcountry, and social. That last one is meant to appeal to people who aren't necessarily interested in flying planes, but they want to be part of the aviation community through various events put on by Oz One.
I can't tell you how many people kind of light up and kind of get a smile on their face and say, I've always wanted to do that. You know, it just seems like, from the days of Leonardo da Vinci, that people always look to the skies and always wonder what it's like to be up and experience the earth in 3D.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
And that was Susanna Sitek. Above the ground in 2018. Before that, we heard the XNA cloud breaking in 1995, and from residents of HIFO back in 1992. We're going to keep going through the archives, aren't we?
Absolutely. We've got a lot of 30 years, you said, to work through, just about, and we started pretty much at the beginning there.
Yeah, we did. All right. Thank you, Daniel Carruth.
Thank you, Kyle.